with the first pick in the draft, second pick, the third pick, with the fourth pick, the fifth pick.
Here's the pitch. He swings as a long drive to right, and it is a home run for Gibson.
Catch that coming down to the turf. Agnew splitting a couple of tacklers. There he goes, 35-40. He's in the clear. Jamal Agnew, he's gone. 30, 20, 10, 5, end zone. Touchdown, Detroit Lions. How about that, rookie?
You're listening to Fantasy Advice Bros. Here's your host, Ali.
Hi, everybody. My name is Ali. I am joined by Nader, and we are the Fantasy Advice Bros. We are giving you NBA Week 15 fantasy news you can use, and we will be doing a live draft shortly as it is Saturday, heading into Week 15 of the NBA season. Nader's back from his vacation, and Nader, are you shocked to see that your Eagles made it all the way to the championship game in football, and they're playing the Vikings? What do you think?
I was extremely shocked. I really thought we'd lose to Atlanta. That defense came to play. If it wasn't for two turnovers that we had, put them in a good field position, they probably wouldn't have scored that entire game. So I'm looking forward to this Minnesota game. It should be a defensive battle.
Give me a prediction.
I'm going to be a homer, and I'm going to go 17-14 Eagles.
Disagree. Minnesota, and I bet you there's going to be points to be had, shockingly, even though both teams have good defenses. New England, Jacksonville, give me a prediction.
I got to go New England at this point. Like, I know Brady had his hand hurt or whatever. Brady, New England, I give them 24-17.
Okay. I think New England wins by 10. I bet you in the first half, Jacksonville's winning by halftime, and I bet you New England comes out and trounces the second half.
Nice.
We are going to begin doing a draft through the draft app, and we are going to use promo code RTNBA3 for a first-time $3 deposit, and we are in a six-guy draft. We are going to show you guys how fast and easy it is using the draft.com app, which you can download through the Android store or the iOS store, and as we do it, we'll tell you what pick we have and what players we end up picking, because we've done this on several podcasts. And we tell you guys, in a five-guy draft, it takes less than 7 minutes. A six-guy draft will take less than 8 minutes. And it's a lot of fun, especially when you do it with other guys. Friend of the podcast, Mo, does it with Nader from time to time. And these guys jibber-jabber back and forth because Nader has snaked his players in the past. And Mo's huffed at him. And you know what? It builds up the camaraderie. It's a lot of fun. Can't recommend it enough. We're using the draft.com app using promo code RTNBA3. And Nader, your draft is about to begin?
The draft actually has already started. I had the third pick.
Okay, give me 1, 2, and 3.
The first pick was Anthony Davis. The second one was Westbrook. And I'm going to continue with the philosophy as discussed before, grabbing forwards early.
LBJ?
There's a lot of good guards, so I grabbed LeBron James tonight.
Heck yeah.
Right after went James Harden, then Kevin Durant, and then DeMarcus Cousins. So now we are the first pick into the second round. As you can see, the first round just flew by, and Chris Paul just went.
Those are all the All-Stars, and Anthony Davis has been having he had back-to-back games, and I'm playing him this week. He averaged 68 fantasy points in two games, and he's likely going to have a great day today on Saturday again. What else? After Chris Paul, who else went?
One pick away from me. Actually, my pick right now. So after Chris Paul, Joel Embiid just went, and then Rudy Gobert went kind of early over here.
Heck yeah, that is early.
So I'm going to continue with the forward theme and take the best forward available, and that'll be Blake Griffin. He's been killing it lately.
Yes, he has. That's right.
So I'll load up in my two forward positions and probably come back with a center, hopefully if one's available, because that's another weak position, because the guards are just loaded. So I can definitely wait on those. There's a ton of them.
Because there's, I think, over 10 NBA games tonight. What centers are you looking at then?
Carl Anthony Towns is here, but I'm projecting, well, he just went. He's going to go before I'm able to pick him, so he's gone right now. I'm hoping I can grab Hassan Whiteside.
Nice.
By the time he gets there, it's one pick away from me.
Since he's been back from injuries, he's still killing it. Like, he never got injured. He still loads up on boards. He's scoring. He's blocking shots. That Miami team is just above 500. Yep, and they've got that 3-4 guy guard rotation going. So it's a great spot for a Hassan Whiteside.
So, which I did just grab him. They're actually well over 500 right now.
Perfect.
And a stat that you know with them, they are currently, I think, 7 games over 500 with Whiteside in the lineup and a 500 team without him.
I did not know that. That was good knowledge. Look at that. While we're drafting through the draft.com app, again, we're in the middle of the third round already.
Correct.
and you've made three picks, and now the end of the third round is probably coming up here. Who else went
so
after?
So guard started going after Karl-Anthony Towns just went, and I took Blake. So it was Butler, Lillard, Curry. I took Whiteside again because centers are very thin, so I'm going to hold off on guards right now. And then Bledsoe, Middleton, Draymond Green just went, and I'm a couple picks away from mine. And now I got a bunch of guards to pick from. Guys that are still available are like DeMar DeRozan, Ben Simmons, who's considered a guard in here, Donovan Mitchell, Kemba Walker, Kyle Lowry, Lou Williams. There's still a ton of guards.
CJ McCollum. What are you thinking, Kemba Walker or Lou Williams?
Paul George and DeRozan just went. I'm looking at Ben Simmons, Schroeder, Kemba. There's a ton of options, honestly, right now. I think I'm going to roll with Ben Simmons to try and focus that sheet and go with there.
Okay. Ben Simmons is always near a triple-double type guy, right? He doesn't score a ton of points, but, he gets rebounds, assists. I get a couple of steals from time to time.
I tend to feel in formats like this a high floor would be good, so it doesn't hurt you, so you're not getting like single-digit points from anybody that might have a bad game. With Simmons, he fills up the stat sheet, and he's not really going to have a bad game for you.
That's right. That Philly team has been rolling. Even though they're hovering around 500, they're still scoring a lot of points.
And this thing's flying over here. So I took Ben Simmons, Kevin Love, Dario Saric, Dwight Howard just went. I'm one pick away from mine. And this draft's about almost over.
Are we in the fifth round or sixth?
We're in the fifth. It's five players, so it'll be the end of it here in four picks. I'm up right now. Ooh, Josh Richardson just went. I don't know if I would have done that. So now, again, bunch of guards are still sitting here.
Okay.
I'm going to roll with Lou Williams tonight. I mean, he's just been absolutely on fire. And we'll put him to our roster. Get a score on our team.
Heck yeah. Lou Williams has been killing it in L.A. We talked about it. Patrick Beverley, Ayard, Telo Zovicius, the backup guard, can't stay on the court. And Lou Williams has been finding Blake Griffin. And, man, Lou Williams has found his own shot. He's been on fire out there. He is, when I checked his overall fantasy ranking, returning late second round value now in total fantasy points.
It is unbelievable.
It really is, being that I drafted him and caught him and somebody else picked him up.
Well, draft is over.
Oh, look at
that. We are good to go. That was extremely
quick. Folks, this was less than 5 minutes. We completed a draft through the draft.com app using promo code RTNBA3 for a first-time $3 deposit, and you see how much fun it was. And Nader, let's do a quick team recap.
All right. So, like I said, I went forwards early. I got two high-end forwards with LeBron James and Blake Griffin. With centers being weak, I jumped over to the center position and grabbed Hassan Whiteside, who's been absolutely killing it since he's been back. And then I went with two guards, Ben Simmons and Lou Williams, to close off the draft.
And, folks, you see how easy it is. By the time this comes out Saturday, likely you're unable to do it because we're doing it just before the 3:30 p.m. slate of games that's going to hit. But you can do the draft.com app at any time. You can still use it for NFL for the playoff games Sunday. And then now that NFL is over until the Super Bowl, you can use it every night for the NBA season. And speak of NBA season, last time we said we are halfway done with the NBA season already, which is incredible, which means fantasy itself is almost two-thirds done because of playoff time before the end of the regular season. And now we want to give you week 15 news you can use, and let's start in pickup land and go ahead.
A gentleman that I would like to discussed, we mentioned last week, keep an eye on him. We also pick him up because if DeAndre Jordan's hurt, he should be very well. Montrezl Harrell,
he's been killing it.
Foreman, yes. And from my understanding from the reports of Doc Rivers, he mentioned that the ankle is still swollen and progressing a lot slower than they anticipated. So that means more Montrezl Harrell minutes, and he needs to be owned.
You are correct. Ever since our last podcast, I've been watching him. And he is only 14% owned. And last week, like you said, without Jordan, he averaged 24 fantasy points. And for a pickup and fill-in, well worth the value. But it would just be temporary until Jordan comes back.
Correct. And it seems like it's going to be a bit longer than anticipated with Jordan, but just take advantage while you could.
Okay, good enough. Next.
Next one that could be a nice season-long add. I want to say a week ago, Scott Brooks out of the Wizards came out and said he needs to do some changes because they just aren't playing well right now. And one of those changes are right now is Kelly Oubre's minutes increasing. He's a defensive stud for that team and could really fill it up and plays the 3 and the 4 for them. I think for Yahoo, he's listed as a 2 or 3, but he's able to stretch it and play the 4 for that team or the 3 as well. Kelly Oubre's minutes has been gone up, and so has his production gone up. They've gone to a lot more small ball. And it really phased out Gortat slightly with Morris playing more center and Kelly Oubre playing more minutes at 3 and 4.
Yeah, so Kelly Obert Jr. is a small forward, and he's only 41% owned. And to summarize it very simply, on the season he was averaging 20 fantasy points, but last week he got 27. As you said, his minutes have gone dramatically up. He's averaging close to 30 minutes now. And the Wizards are a funny team in that they have the worst record in the East against teams that they play that are sub 500, but they have the best record in the East against teams above 500.
Playing down to their competition.
Yeah, they really do. They have the dog days, right? Wall and Beal have both admit it. So this might be a good season long ad now. And last year, correct me if I'm wrong, I don't know that it. They had a third guy in that team that was scoring a ton of points that left.
Ottawa,
right?
Porter. He didn't Thank leave. You. He got re-signed.
Okay.
But he's still playing well as well. Like there, I think there's legitimately four guys that could be owned as fantasy wise on that team.
Okay, but right now Kelly Obert is the guy to pick up. He's the guy to own at 42%. Good enough. Next up,
it is from the Sacramento Kings. We've discussed him briefly before, and it's Bogdan Bogdanovic. His minutes are continuing to go up. His production continues to produce. It's one of those teams that I think we've discussed plenty of times being a dumpster fire. They are looking basically to tank, get that draft pick higher, and play their young guys. And Bogdanovic is a rookie right now, and he is really performing for that team along with him and Fox. Bogdanovic should be added all season long because his production should continue due to the fact that they are just playing all their young guys now.
Okay, so Bogdanovic, shooting guard for the Kings. He is the brother of the other Bogdanovic on Indianapolis. He's 45% owned, and he's averaging 25 fantasy points in the last 2 weeks. And folks, on the season, he's only averaging 18. And let's do a quick conversation about the Kings. They're a dumpster fire, and the coach has come out and said he's going to start playing more of the younger guys. So you expect these minutes to continue, his value to be sustainable, and one day we might discover there's more value out of more guys than out of the Kings, because last episode you were pretty high on De'Aaron Fox, who ended up having a double-double just the other night.
Yeah, since he's been back from injury, he's been averaging mid-25 points a game for fantasy-wise. I'm not sure what his owners percentage is, but I know people know him a whole lot more to be added. I think it's been slowly
54%
going
owned.
Oh, well, go and grab him if he's not picked up in your league.
He's now averaging 20 fantasy points. Folks, as a rookie, he is a little bit inconsistent, but definitely worth the add, especially of all this time of year, because his minutes are likely to only go up in that situation because they admit they're going to start tanking. Even though it's very early for tanking, we will be keeping an eye out on teams that start tanking early for additional pickups.
Next quick note with them is George Hill is definitely on a trade block, and teams are actually very interested for him. So if he goes in, that just gives more minutes for Fox as well as Bogdanovic.
Yep, and Hill's 51% owned. So let's do one scenario. If he gets traded to Cleveland, which is the hottest rumor, if you will, from a fantasy standpoint, does that increase his fantasy value?
For George Hill?
Yes.
Yes, his minutes would be up. He'd be able to get a lot more open shots with LeBron on the court.
Okay, he's 50% owned, so if you want to pick him up and stash him, there it is. Okay, next.
Next, this will be kind of a midsection to our four-game slate, but also someone you might want to consider due to the same fact that Grizzlies are tanking in a sense similar to the Kings, and that's Dylan Brooks, a rookie, I want to say shooting guard, small forward for them right now. He's started the season as a defensive player. In the last three games, I want to say he's actually been on fire. His minutes have been up due to a lot of injuries on that team, whether they're real injuries or injuries just to make sure the young players start playing. I can't tell you right now.
Mike Connolly conspiracy theories.
Exactly. I kind of feel it's a bit early for the tanking mode, but teams are jumping into it right now.
You know what? Memphis is only four games better than Sacramento as of this recording. So maybe it's not too early for it.
It sure seems like that's what's going on right now. So they've started the tank train early, and Dylan Brooks seems like he might be benefiting from that.
So Dylan Brooks, 17% owned, shooting guard, small forward for the Memphis Grizzlies. On the season, averaging 13 fantasy points, but last week, 27.
Yeah.
And he's averaging close to 30 minutes. And you think because of conspiracy theories, this is likely to continue to see what you have in the young guy named Dylan Brooks.
Due to injuries right now, I would say he would be a great, because he has got a four-game slate coming up. Okay. So for the week, they have a ton of injuries they're dealing with. I think they ruled out three players just yesterday or today for their next game, three guards. So Dylan Brooks is still going to have those minutes. I say pick him up to use him for this four-game slate and plug him in for the week.
So for a week 15, four-game slate.
Correct. Week 15, four-game slate, pick him up. He should produce this week, and then hold and find out, because it could be a situation where they're trying to find out if he can be a cornerstone of this team.
Okay, good enough. That's a pickup that takes me by surprise, so I like it. Next.
We're going to jump over to our four-game slate weeks now.
All right, four-game pickups.
Yes.
So week 15.
Week 15. So the first one on the list, he's been performing up and down, but with a four-game slate, he's been playing actually really well lately, especially with Tim Hardaway back. That's Jarrett Jack, starting point guard for the New York Knicks. He's got all his weapons. His assists have been up. His minutes are there. And I say for a four-game slate this week, if you need a point guard, I say he's somebody you should go out and grab.
So Jarrett Jack is somebody I've mentioned in the past. He's 21% owned. The funny thing about him in that situation is, in New York, Courtney Lee is kind of like the guy, right? And Jack is integrated in. And I agree with you, for a four-game slate, he is worth owning. And just for that, he averages about 16 fantasy points. It's funny, when he's on the court, he doesn't score too much. He rebounds more than he assists, but he's always around the ball. He's a funky, funky player. For four-game pickup and only as a temporary add, would I say I agree with you in that regard, because Tim Hardaway Jr. is back. Beasley's on the court more with the Unicorn and Courtney Lee. So Jarrett Jack seems to disappear a little and averages only 22 minutes a night.
Yeah, so I'm not advocating for him season long, but if you're in a pickle for a point guard spot, Jarrett Jack could be a good add for you, especially someone who's not owned in any league basically at this point. So you can add him for a four-game slate.
Are you going to advocate while we're in the New York bandwagon for Tim Hardaway Jr.?
If he's available, I can't imagine he is. He was playing amazing before he got hurt. Okay. I want to say at least 80% owned.
You nailed it. He is 80%. Oh, just nice. Throwing it out. So in his last week, he averaged 34 fantasy points.
Go grab him. That's a weekly start without even questioning. He's been amazing this year. I think everybody was shocked this offseason when they gave him $17.5 million per year,
yeah,
including me, but he's definitely living up to that contract. But shooters the way they are in the NBA, they need him.
Okay, next.
We've mentioned Joe Ingles before, add drop. This is going to be just for a four-game slate to get him added to. He's been performing better. I think they have him coming off the bench now in a point guard role, and it's really helped his value slightly. So I would go up and grab Joe Ingles for the week. He's got a four-game slate. He kind of fills up the stat sheet as well, so his floor is high.
So Joe Ingles, Ingles, shooting guard, small forward for the Utah Jazz, 58% owned, averaging about 15 fantasy points on the season. He's averaging close to 20. 15 was last week. And you're saying he's getting a slightly more run. He is averaging 30 minutes last week. But really, the big kicker is he's playing a four-game slate.
Exactly. Yeah, again, it's one of those things where I don't add for a season long. If you're in a pickle, need somebody for four games, someone who's actually playing a decent amount of minutes, I'd say you gotta go. You can go and add him.
I like. Next.
Next one could be kind of an add for season long, but especially for this week. That's Wayne Ellington. We've discussed him before. He's benefiting from Deion Waiters being out for the year and performing well. He's got a four-game slate this week. His shooting ability, once again, he might be inconsistent due to the fact that he's missing his shots. He's going to have a bad game. But lately, he's just not missing his shots. It's somebody that needs to be added for this week and could really help your team.
So he is 38% owned, shooting guard, small forward for Miami. He's averaging 20 fantasy points, and he's averaging close to 28 minutes a night, which is pretty good. We just talked about how in that situation in Miami, it's like a four-guard rotation, right?
Yeah, they've played four guards at one point with Whiteside in the center or James Johnson at the center. They just like playing a bunch of guards over there.
Miami is a funny team. They're like the best team in the East that nobody talks about. I don't mean best overall team, just best story in that they're winning games and nobody ever talks about them.
Yeah, they started late last season. They started out really bad and made a late playoff push. Spoelstra over there is having that team playing hard and together, and definitely could be a top four seed in that East by a season end.
Okay, good enough. Next.
Again, four-game slate only guy. I want to go with Larry Nance.
I was going to bring him up.
Yeah. So, again, one of those teams where, like, the Lakers are kind of tanking. Brook Lopez, you just need to forget about. Larry Nance playing a lot of center these days along with Julius Randle. Larry Nance, his minutes may be up and down because they go a lot of game flow dependent. Whoever's playing well, the Lakers tend to keep in. But he's good enough to have a four-game slate in play this week.
So I'm going to say that let me first give. So Larry Nance Jr., 37% owned on the Lakers. He's averaging 21 fantasy points, and he's averaging about 23 minutes. His fantasy value is equal to Julius Randle. I know most people drafted Randle in the third, fourth round, whatever it was, and he's a great player. But he doesn't get a ton of run. And he's interchanging with Larry Nance a lot since Nance returned from his injury. Even before Nance's injury, Nance was killing it. He's killing it again. And when you watch him on the court, I almost wonder why he's not getting more of a run. I'm a big advocate of Larry Nance.
Yes.
Okay, next.
The last one is a very deep ad, deeper leagues, or if you're just in a pickle and can't find anybody. Because his value might have been hurt. I don't think D'Angelo Russell is going to be playing full slate of minutes this week, at least. But you need to go grab Joe Harris for a four-game slate this week. He's been scoring the ball, shooting the ball well from three. He has his skill set and has his role carved out with the Nets. So for a four-game slate, if he's averaging anywhere between 15 and 20 for the week and you're in a pickle, deeper leagues, I say you should go grab him and add him for the week because he would help out.
So Joe Harris is 5% owned. Shooting guard, he's the epitome of a shooter. That's all he does is he jacks up a ton of threes.
Exactly.
For this last week, he averaged about 25 minutes and about 20 fantasy points. So for a four-game slate, not bad. I'd say pretty good. The other guy in the Nets I want to mention, because we had poo-pooed him temporarily, but apparently he had a bum knee. It was DeMar Carroll. He's 55% owned. And
I don't know how percentage was that low owned.
It's that low. I picked him back up. Last week, he averaged 32 fantasy points. He had two double-doubles in there. He's killing it right now. He looks like the way he did at the start of the season when he was playing with Russell. Big advocate. That was the other guy I was going to bring up. Nance,
yeah, no, definitely
go and
grab him. I must overlook that one because I didn't pay attention to who's only 55% owned.
It's okay when you show signs of humanity. but yeah, DeMar Carroll. And okay, good enough. Four-game segment over. Next.
Yes, next we're going to try to discuss some guys it's time to get rid of.
Okay.
One of them is going to hurt your heart here slightly, and we're going to talk about Zach Randolph.
I know. Yep. Absolutely worth it. Him and that team are a dumpster fire. I don't even have to go over his stats. The coach said they're going to start playing the young guys. He's going to start getting less and less of a run. Without question, when a team is a dumpster fire and they're going to play the young guys and you've got a veteran on a veteran contract like Zebo, he's worth cutting at this point. We talked about it much earlier. He gave a great run with weeks of 40 fantasy points. We knew the bell curve was going to kick in. Bell curve is here. I'm going to roster him one more week, hoping just for a little bit more pixie dust. If I get nothing this week, he's absolutely going to be off my roster.
Yeah, we've discussed this earlier in the year. We said ride his hot hand, and if you can ship him off for a better deal, please go ahead and do it because this time was going to come.
Yep, I tried and failed.
Maybe a little bit earlier than we expected, but that time has come at this point.
Yep.
Nothing wrong with holding one more week just to cross your fingers and hopefully something pops back up. But at this point, I wouldn't blame you at all if you want to drop him.
Next on the list.
Similar situation. Brook Lopez needs to be cut. He's on a one-year deal. He's just not good. For a 7-foot center who averages like 5 rebounds a game and just wants to jack threes, he just doesn't belong to play any minutes, and he's
so
not playing minutes.
We just talked about it. He's a Laker, right? 75% owned. Last week, only 11 fantasy points, and he's in a situation where Julius Randle and Larry Nance Jr. and Randle and Nance are doing it themselves.
They're just better than he is at this point. Regardless of young or not, they're just better players.
Yeah, and when you watch Lakers, they move up and down the court really well. When you watch Lopez, it's almost like he needs a walking stick at this point.
Yes.
And he's athletic, but... past his prime. Agreed. Next.
Next, similar one I've discussed, Kelly Oubre. His minutes increase is going to hurt Martin Gortat. He's been very inconsistent with his minutes, and I think that's due to the competition that he's playing, whether they're playing a team that has bigs or smalls. But he will be extremely inconsistent, and it's about time for him to move on from him. His minutes have been down.
Who? You didn't give a name.
Oh, Martin Gortat. I thought I did. I apologize. Martin Gortat.
I think I misunderstood you. Okay. So
yes, Marcin Gortat is time to kind of let go, or if you can trade him off because he has some name value, I guess, it's time to move on from him because his minutes are going to be extremely inconsistent. And with Kelly Oubre playing a whole lot better, his production will go down. And I think it's shown. He's got a couple good games in there this past couple weeks, but for the most part, he's been inconsistent.
So he is 81% owned, and he's in a great situation. Like you said, Washington plays a ton of small ball, so there should be a ton to clean up like Clint Capella does for Houston, right?
Yes.
But he's only averaging 17 fantasy points, and that's really, really weak. He should be averaging way more than that, and that was just last week, only 19 on the season.
I also expect that to continue to go down if possible just because of the fact they'll be going more small ball.
Okay. Good enough. Next.
And the last person I want to discuss is just a really odd situation. I know we discussed Michael Beasley last week as an ad. And I really didn't think Tim Hardaway Jr. would really affect him. But
I think he's just a stash at this point, right, Beasley?
Yes, I agree. It's going to be extremely up and down. It's going to be hard to trust him because I think he came out and said it. Their coach came out and mentioned that it's either between Beasley or Lance Thomas that we're going to depend if they want offense or defense. Truthfully, I have no idea why Lance. I don't even know what he does on the court for that team much. The minute Beasley comes in, he's instant offense and does well, but apparently they're going to continue to go back and forth. He had a couple good games last week, but then he had a game that he had won.
So the Knicks are an interesting situation. They even have Kyle O'Quinn, who sometimes looks like he's energized with life, and sometimes he looks like one of the Lopez's, right? Here's what I'm going to tell you about all Knicks, and here's what's to consider. Beyond Porzingis and Tim Hardaway Jr. and Enes Kanter, even though he's up and down, the Knicks played the most home games in the NBA thus far, and they're going to have the most road games down the stretch. I don't know that any Knick beyond those three are going to be worth owning, period. But if I owned Beasley and I would have picked him up while he was red hot, I just stash him for now because there's always injuries and things can happen. So I say stash on that.
Yeah, Porzingis has been 10 to miss games here and there for his knee, and apparently he gets tired all the time. Tim Hardaway Jr. is not playing back-to-back games at this point right now. So there's a chance for Beasley to come back and be productive, but right now it's going to be very inconsistent.
Okay.
That's it for me.
Okay, that covers it. You know what? We covered a gauntlet. We did a draft. We did four day pickups for next week. And we gave you guys to look into to pick up and drop. And we talked about a whole bunch of teams. I look forward to the rest of this season because teams are tanking earlier than normal. I think we're going to have a lot of low percentage guys to advocate for in the future, in a very near future, even though the All-Star game isn't until February. Had a lot of fun. Thanks a lot. Until next time.
Thank you, sir.
Thanks for listening to Fantasy Advice Bros, presented by Gabber Media.